Fellow servants of the Almighty God, think about that. Let's start with prayer. Heavenly Father, we're so humbled by who you are and all that's been done on our behalf. We thank you for your wonderful mercy, the mercy and love that brought Jesus down to us. And Father, we would pray for conviction, that we would be convicted of the things that we would do, that you would have us do, to make the conviction so strong that we just can't get out from under it until we follow through. We thank you for conviction. We thank you for your Spirit that indwells us. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Thank you so very much. In the name of Jesus, amen. Well, I actually want to ask you what you believe. I really do. We say, or we talk about, the things we believe from time to time. But first and foremost, I want you to know that the giver of a lesson or a sermon is always the one that's convicted first. And I want to really share some of my convictions. That's really what I want to share today, is some of my convictions. And my prayer is that if you have a convicted heart, that you would act upon that, that you would bring it up before the Lord day by day, that He would help you to take the next step. An old proverb says that a 1,000-mile journey begins with the first step, okay? The first one. And remember, oops, I got to point it in the right direction. In John 16:8, when He comes, and He's speaking of the Holy Spirit here, so we can think about this in context, He will convict the world of guilt in regards to sin, righteousness, and judgment. We understand the conviction of sin, especially those who have walked in Christ for any amount of time. But let's take that a little further. And let's look at righteousness. What is righteousness? Righteousness is doing what's right. So He came here to convict us not only of what we're doing wrong, but we need to do what's right. And judgment. Because if we don't heed this listening that He's talking about, we're going to fall under judgment. I'm going to be asking some hard questions. Some really hard questions, and I want you to take a really good look at it. And hopefully, you will gain the courage to change. Jesus said, unless you change and become like little children, you shall never enter the kingdom of heaven. So change is required. It's not about me. It's about Him. Okay? And what He wants us to do. Everything that we look at here is temporary. It's all temporary. When you die, is any of it going to matter? Probably not. Now, somewhere in your life, your journey has changed. Or your journey begins with Christ Jesus. Some people have a dramatic change. And it's 180 degrees, and man, you can see they're a different person. But my experience has been, change is slow. I'm slow. When God was passing out brains, I thought He said trains. And I said, give me a slow one that smokes. Okay? I'm slow. It's taken me a long time to get to where I am. And if we look at this picture, let's just look at this frame. And let's say, this is your life. Where have you heard that before? And maybe that shows our age when we hear that. But if we look at our life, and let's just say our life looks like a picture, and we look at the objects in that picture, and the biggest ones are what we think about the most, where we spend our time, where we spend our resources, our talents, all of it. Most people, especially when the journey begins, the biggest thing in your picture is you. And the journey is about to change that, or it should, because if it doesn't, something's wrong and you need to take a hard look at it. Do we ever arrive? Probably not. I would say no. We don't completely arrive. The only day we will be made perfect is when we are in the kingdom of God. But that does not excuse us from having to try. Okay? Effort. It's about effort. So when your journey begins, you're the biggest picture, because self, there's all kinds of things that fall under that. Your hobbies, television, all of that. And then the smallest picture is our Lord and our Savior. In Matthew 10:37-39, anyone who loves their father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever does not take up their cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Whoever finds their life will lose it, and whoever loses their life for my sake will find it. Do we understand this? Do we understand this? We should. Where are you in your journey? What's the biggest thing in your journey? Where do I spend my time? When these doors are open, are you here? It's a good question. Where do we spend our resources? Remember, it's temporary. You know, there's some things that, and I've really come to a big realization about this lately. When I go, or we go, to settle an estate, somebody's left. When they leave, all their stuff is still here. It's all still here. You ain't going to take nothing with you. And I want to ask you this question. Does it have any eternal value? If you don't do the right thing with it, does it have eternal value? How much investment do you have in eternity? A bunch of it? Are you going to leave your children or grandchildren a big inheritance? Or is your inheritance going to be directed to the one who saved you? Who redeemed you? In my own life, I had to question, what's important to me? Is it important? Is my going and have fun important? In a way, I guess it keeps you kind of healthy mentally. But how far is too far? Do I go traveling all the time? Do I buy extravagant things? Do I live in an extravagant house? How important are these things that are here? I would care to say they're not very important. Let's simplify this a little bit. In your picture, what's the most important thing to you right now at this moment? And this would be a general question. And you could ask this of anybody in the world or in the church. What is the most important thing to you right now? Okay, now that you've got a picture of that, if you're in the middle of a lake and you're drowning, picture this. I don't know if anybody's ever been in this circumstance to where they almost drowned. I have. You're drowning. At that very moment, what is the most important thing in your life? What is it?
Air.
Air. Breathe. I want to breathe. That's how simplified your life can become. Because all these other things are no longer important. The most important thing to you is breath. I want to breathe. Is this any different? How about when you cross that threshold into eternity? When we cross that threshold, all your decisions are behind you. There's no more decision making. It's done. So, what's the most important thing then? I saw on a little church building, I saw a sign one time. Never forgotten it. Soon, your life will be past. Only that which is done in Christ will last. Everything else is gone. On your deathbed, will you have regrets? Of course you will. Most of us will. Again, eternal value. What has eternal value? Seek that out. When I do take that inventory, and I'm honest with myself, I mean, the scripture says, judge yourself and you won't come under judgment. We've always been told we're our own worst critic. Okay? So we know us and we really know what to focus on. What was it that I spent my time, my money, everything, where did it go? Did I store it in my pocket or did I store it in heaven? Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. What is your treasure? Would you give it all up and walk away? That's a good question, and we need to ask ourselves that. Would you give it all up and walk away and follow Him? If the conviction is so pressing that you just can't get out from under it, that's when you know it's a calling from God. It will not leave you alone. I believe. Have you ever read the definition of belief? Here you go. To consider to be true or honest, genuine or real. To accept the word or evidence of. And my question to you, do you believe? Is it just mental assent? Or does your life follow that? Do I follow that? And if I do, okay, then I believe in creation. I believe that an almighty God created everything.
Amen.
Amen. I got a witness. So you believe the flood. You believe that this guy was strolling down the beach one day and a whale kind of flopped up and puked some guy out on the beach. Wow. Can you imagine watching that? Think about that. So if we do believe this,
What do I really believe? Does my life reflect that? If I believe that, does my life reflect that? If it were illegal to be a disciple of Christ, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Think about that. Think about that. And if I do believe the Bible, why am I not taking it more seriously? All of it. What's my primary focus? Anybody know who Samuel Clemens was? Mark Twain. Everybody knows him as Mark Twain. He said, "It's not the parts in the Bible that I don't understand that bother me. It's the parts in the Bible that I do understand that bother me." What do you do with that? Do you push it off? Do we just kind of put that off for later? Or I'll get to that, or ignore it, period. Have we understood that this is bigger than me? This is bigger than me, and it's not about me. This is totally bigger than me. Luke 13, make every effort to enter through the narrow door, because many, I tell you, will try to enter and not be able to. Let's look at this. Make every effort. It takes effort. Because it doesn't just naturally happen. I know it's a free gift. I know Christ came to save me. But is there something I'm supposed to be doing? What do I do with that scripture? Effort. I have to make the effort. The effort to change. The effort to put somebody else ahead of myself. I have to make that conscious effort daily. Enter through the narrow door. That means it's restrictive. If it's a narrow door, it's restrictive. And I can't take my baggage with me. As much as I want to, I can't do it. Because many, I tell you, will try to enter and will not be able to. Because I'm not committed. I'm here, but I'm not committed. Am I convinced or am I converted? That's a question. I can be convinced God is there and not be converted. Think about James 2. James said, even the devil believes and trembles. But I guarantee you, he ain't saved. Mental assent means nothing. Okay? You can believe all day long, but it ain't going to help you. Unless that belief motivates you to move forward, to do something. Did I count the cost? Did I count the cost? What's it going to cost for me to get to a point in my life to where I don't see me anymore? All I see is Christ Jesus. Because that's why I'm here. Is that not why we're here? Can I get a witness? Luke 13, I missed something. Oh, I did it already. Ha ha, that's funny. Remember when Jesus said, count the cost? Did you? We probably didn't when we first started our journey. because we had no idea what it meant. But have you counted the cost today? Have you thought about how much it's going to cost? Would you care to guess? Everything. For I sold myself as a slave. I am no longer my own. And I'm either a slave to sin or I'm a slave to righteousness. Who is righteous? Those who do what's right. That's the people that are righteous. I've heard it this way. Do what's right because it's right. You know, I have a very close brother. For Christmas, he came by and he gave me a calendar. Of course, it's all about Scripture. It's all about Jesus. It's all about the people that we're familiar with that have tread the path that's laced with blood. Charles Sturgeon said, "If Christ is not all to you, He is nothing to you. If He is something, He must be everything. And if He be not everything, He is nothing to you." Think about that. Hey, I didn't write any of this, but it's convicting to me. That was in February, and I still haven't been able to turn the page because that quote speaks to me volumes. Love thy God with all your heart. Come on, say it with me. All your soul, all your mind. There you go. What does that mean? Everything. He is everything to me, and I will happily even lay down my life because He paid for it. And so it is His. I am His slave, and if He chooses to kill me, so be it. I will still serve Him. Remember this, with more revelation comes more responsibility. We are called to do something. We are not called just to sit and give praises and listen to the music. We are called to do something. This one's sobering. This one's very sobering. Revelation 3:16 and 17. Of course, we're all aware that Christ was speaking to the churches. And I can't help but think the American church. Because look at it. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. The literal is vomit. Okay? You say I am rich. You don't know it, but in America, just go to another third world country and you'll see how rich you really are. You have no idea. You say I am rich, I have acquired wealth and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. Think about that. Make it part of your daily thought. It might help in your walk. Matter of fact, I know it will because I do the same thing. Harsh words. Remember, I didn't write it. I'm just trying to come to terms with it. What am I supposed to be doing? Is there something I'm supposed to be doing? If we read His Word, we know what we're supposed to be doing. Am I part of the kingdom or not? Or am I standing on the outside looking in? And you know, Samuel Clemens was right. He was right. It's the things I do understand that bother me. Where are we in our journey? Do we see Him? Or do we still see ourselves? Where are we? Where are we in that journey? Luke 13, 6 through 8. Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree growing in his vineyard, and he went to look for fruit on it, but not find any. So he said to the man who took care of the vineyard, "For 3 years now I've been coming to look for fruit on this fig tree and haven't found any. Cut it down. Am I fruitful? Am I producing fruit? Is there fruit in my life?" When he comes to look for fruit, will he see fruit in me? Fruit of the lips? Your first fruits. That's your money. That's your produce. That's everything. Do I put him first? Or is he last and I just get what's left in my pocket? That sounds really endearing, huh? So what's the ultimate fruit of a Christian? What's the ultimate fruit? Another Christian. Am I involved in that? And I don't have to be involved in it in the mission field. Look out! The field is ripe, ready for harvest. He said, blossom right where you are. Right where you're at. And you know I'm not supposed to cast my pearls before swine. But I also know that he opens doors. And he'll open a door and lead you in a direction where somebody's looking. Where somebody's hungry. And they want that. I'll ask you again. Am I converted or just convinced? You know, I don't have to go into the mission field to spread the gospel. We're so rich that I can send. If you can't go, send. Send somebody. Give them money, resources. Maybe I can volunteer to answer a phone, to clean the toilet, to whatever it may be. Maybe I can do that. Where am I? Where am I in this journey? Remember, I didn't write it. Jesus didn't fail because he knew that I would. But if I get up and continue this fight, this struggle, we struggle with this. Remember Jacob? He struggled with it. He had a limp for the rest of his life because of it. I know I have responsibilities here. And I know I have to take care of my family. I know I have to take care of my household. But I can go beyond that. I can be a fruitful Christian. And we're all back to what do you believe? Is that book that you have, do you believe it's the truth? If it is, heed the truth. Heed the word. It says that God looks upon the heart of men. And we wrestle with God. Am I in love with Christ? Am I making the most of my time here? Am I in Christ? If I judge myself, I won't come under judgment. Here's Nancy's favorite. Oh, no, I ain't got there yet. Ha 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 ha. But in John 15, 1 through 8, I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit. We need to be fruitful. While every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes so that it be more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. So again, I have to ask, where are we in this journey? Is he getting bigger? Is he taking up more space in that life picture? Here we go. Uh-oh, that one didn't get changed. Anyway, here I'll even read. I bet Nancy can quote it. Romans 8:1. Therefore, Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If we are walking in Christ and we are part of His family, there's no condemnation for us. But I have to judge myself so I don't fall under judgment, so I can walk that path. And you know, a lot of times we question ourselves, am I? And you know, when we question ourselves and we examine ourselves, that just tells me that we're trying to line ourselves up with Christ, that we are in the house of God, that we are His children. Am I earnestly seeking Him? Am I reading? Am I attending the meetings of the saints, sharing the good works that were prepared in advance for me to do? We all have to answer these questions. But I do know I can be productive in God's kingdom. I do know I can pray constantly and He will open doors. All I have to do is walk through it. I will use my talents for His kingdom. Remember, the kingdom is the point. And, you know, one thing we also need to remember when we have doubt. It's doubt. We always have doubt. Read the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John is written so that we may know we have eternal life. Not that I may guess or I think so. I hope so. No. I know that if I died within the next hour, I would be with our Lord and Savior. I know, because He wrote it for me. Just a small little example. 1 John 3:7. I don't know if I got that in there or not. Nope. Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. We know that we have come to know Him if we keep His commands. Whoever says, I know Him, but does not do what He commands, is a liar. And the truth is not in that person. But if anyone obeys His word, love for God is truly made complete in them. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in him must live as Jesus did. It's all in here. It's the things I do understand that bother me. Because I know I'm supposed to be doing something. And I do know where I can't, God can. But in our house, there's a saying, can't never did nothing. Get up, move forward. Always pray for eyes to see and ears to hear. In the book of Revelation, he who has an ear, let him hear. And how many times does he say that? 7 different times. And he's talking to the church. He's not talking to somebody who doesn't know God. Okay? Who are we? We're the church. It's us. You know, in my life, I didn't start well. I haven't done well. But you want to know something that I do know? I can end well. That I can do. I can end well. Thank you for your patience with me. I probably ran over a little more. I kept telling Linda, I'm going to be too long. People are going to be falling asleep. There's one right there. Oh, he woke up. Anyway, sorry about that.
Preach it, brother.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your wonderful word that teaches us, that gives us strength, that helps us day by day. And Father, we would ask that you would keep it ever before us. And we ask that you would help us to remember. Your word tells us to remember. Help us in that endeavor. Help us to reach out. Help us to walk through the doors you open and to walk away from the doors that you close. We thank you for your love. Help us to be who you called us to be. In the name of Jesus, amen.